Are you a curious person? Have you ever really stopped to think about what it means to be curious in your personal and professional life? That's something that we're going to talk about today because I think one of the muscles that's most important for leaders to be exercising is our curiosity and our ability to seek first to understand rather than be understood. In a day where it feels like we are bombarded with information and opinions and ideas, we need to sometimes slow down and really think differently and shift our paradigm about the information and kind of the environment and what's happening around us. And that's really about curiosity and asking the right questions. And so I'm so happy to have Marianne Melko here with me today. She's the founding partner and business coach at Upturnships, and she'll tell you a little bit more about what Upturnships is, and then I can tell you about my passion for Upturnships as well. But we're going to be talking about this idea of curiosity, and we're also going to get into some myths and some data around millennials and the changing dynamics of the workforce, which we at Keystone are so passionate in kind of beating this drum and making sure business leaders understand. So Marianne, thanks for being here with us today.
Thank you, Jamie.
Absolutely.
Happy to be here.
So I just love you to start with your journey, right? You've had a great career and now your involvement with Upturnships, and just tell us a little bit about that journey that you've been on.
Great. Well, a quick start was that I actually got a job with Procter & Gamble right out of college. And I have shared this story actually recently that I got it because I had had an internship in college, and also because when we had this big intimidating interview session back in the day, it was over a dinner. And there were about 20 candidates there.
Wow.
And the big boss came, not just the divisional manager for Procter & Gamble. This was a sales position, very coveted position at the time. And the regional manager came. And he asked a very, current, almost political question about, this is going on in this other country. How would you handle it? And I decided I would be the first to answer because, A, we wouldn't have run out of ideas, and B, I wanted him to remember me. And I don't know what happened to the other 19 people, but I got a job offer. The second thing that I think is relevant is that women don't negotiate for salary or salary increases. We know that only 7% of women negotiate and only 50% of men, and still that's not enough. Mm-hmm. And I actually did negotiate back then. This was in 1979. I actually graduated halfway through the semester at school because I'd taken an internship. And because of that internship, I could go back and negotiate that, you want me to move to Washington, D.C. I've looked at rent here. I know what it costs. Yeah. I'm not going to have a roommate. I can't make it on. Back then, the offer was $13,000 in a company car.
Wow, for anybody listening, like let's get real
and
here,
that was good money, right?
That was good money back then. I love it.
But I negotiated for $3,000 raise,
which
was significant on that base, because I could bring, not just because I was a nice person, I asked for it, but I brought facts and data.
Yep.
And so we do tell people that you can negotiate with facts and data and what have you. So, that's one thing that I think is important for people to know is you can choose your path, and you seek companies that are looking for your best version of yourself.
Yeah, and you can have an impact that maybe you don't think you can have.
Correct.
Right? You have more power sometimes than you realize.
Absolutely.
I love that.
So I went from sales with a number of different companies, and I decided after I had moved into healthcare that I couldn't figure out why certain products were the products we were supposed to sell. And I realized marketing makes those decisions, so I decided I should go into marketing because they weren't making the right decisions.
You're going to fix the problem.
I'm going to go fix that problem, exactly. And so in Johnson & Johnson, I moved into marketing roles, and it was a wonderful thing with a large corporation like Johnson & Johnson. Mm-hmm. I could move to different operating companies in different roles, continue my tenure, but it felt fresh every time I had an opportunity to either move up or a lateral. And so with that, I moved to several different geographies, from D.C. to California to Chicago to New Jersey to Cincinnati. And we actually moved here with my wife's position at Medtronic. So, when you're in corporate America, you tend to move a little bit.
Yes.
So a number of jobs I've done were either international marketing, started a women's health business outside the U.S. and Asia, Latin America, and Canada. Also did strategic marketing for Johnson & Johnson, trying to look at either companies or products or areas we wanted to enter into, markets we wanted to enter into. And then my last job was starting a competitive intelligence department, which was one of the most fun things I've done because I love to start new teams. I love to create new processes.
And talk about being curious. Like you have to be in a competitive analysis area.
Exactly.
Perfect. And now, so talk a little bit. So you are retired,
yes,
right,
I am.
From the corporate career. And talk a little bit about where you're at now.
Okay. So when Teresa and I moved to Minnesota, I obviously had retired at that point, and I had never not worked my entire, from about 14 on, I have never not worked. So, and also, you know, work is a venue for you to be able to establish your community.
Absolutely.
And I thought, well, what am I going to be doing? And so I had two blessings that happened to me. One was I got to pursue one of my dreams, which was to raise service dogs, and we still are involved in that. We've adopted two of them now that have been career changed, which is the title they use. But I'm still involved with that organization. And the other was I met Julie Burrows, who's our founding and person and CEO and president for Upturnships at our church. And she was going into the foundation or board to ask for the seed money to get started. And so she and Libby Trader and myself basically wrote the curriculum based on information as to what new hires lack when they enter in an employer. And so it was the basic things like communication skills in a business setting as opposed to college setting, right? By the time you get to be
things
a senior.
Things we don't prepare them for.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
You're thinking it's 22 pages and instead a CEO wants bullets,
correct,
right?
Correct.
A summary. Problem solving. You know, so we establish tools and then also prioritization. Those are the three of some of the areas that we really emphasize. So what we do is we have volunteer coaches who are helping us with both one-on-one training and team training. And we have a summer internship program, which is about to be expanded into multiple times through the year with multiple years in college. So freshmen will do just resume help. Sophomores are going to be our summer internship program. After that, as they're juniors, we might still have to help them with pairing them to or matching them to an employer. And then as they get ready to graduate, helping them find a employer that they would want to work with, and then possibly even after that.
And talk a little bit about the mission of Upturnships, because I think it's different than a traditional, like we just want to help college students get internships, right? There's a different dynamic to it.
Right. Well, we look for motivated students who are paying over 50% of their own college expenses. And that's really the only criteria. They may not have the best grades, possibly because they're working two and three jobs as well as going to school. But we tell them that they need to get to that 3.0 range because that's what employers are looking for, and we try to help them focus on what they need to do that. But we basically are looking at individuals to help them get prepared, equipped, and experienced so they can walk into the workforce and be able to immediately contribute. And that's the goal.
And what I love is, and again, I'll talk about our tie to Upturnships, but what I love is that you're looking at students that may or may not have an example of someone who's done that.
Very
right?
Much
and
so.
Gone through college even.
Very
Some
much
first
so.
Year, you know, first generation college students
yeah.
or people who just, I always say like they have great families or great people around them, but they may not be the business professionals, right? That
Correct.
They have as models of here's what to do. They don't know where to learn those other, I guess, the other things that school doesn't teach you.
Yes.
And I think that's just so amazing. And so we have hired one of your former interns and one of your former students in the
right.
internship program, Sophia, to our team. And it's been a game changer for our business.
Great.
I mean, just the drive and,
yes.
you know, and the work ethic. And I mean, I paid a large chunk of my college, and I look at that and say, you're in it in a different way.
Yes.
When you are paying for it.
Absolutely.
Right? I really believe that versus Completely. Someone else is writing the check, you take it a little more seriously.
Oh, definitely.
And so just the product of who you guys are dealing, working with and how you're preparing them is just amazing. So that's a selfless plug for Upturnships, but we'll get you more information at the end if people want to find out more about that, but it is very powerful. And when I talk about the word curiosity, whether you're intending to or not, I do think that you're fueling that in these kids to say, I've learned what I've learned, but I need to be curious about other things because that's how I continue to learn
in the
workforce.
Let me play off of what you're saying because you're absolutely right, Jamie. Just think about a person who has lived in a refugee camp. English is not their first language. They've moved here and had to learn English to finish school, to be able to figure out how to get into college, how to pay for college. The amount of curiosity and fortitude for
and
these
grit.
Individuals,
yeah.
just grit, that is the perfect term for it. So it's, GPA is not the measure anymore. It is truly grit.
Yes, and I think we sometimes forget that, especially those of us who didn't have that journey. And
right.
it's not that they're any better or worse because they had that journey, but you cannot convince me that person is not a hard worker
mm-hmm.
because they've proven it
right
in their life. And
Absolutely.
So looking at it in a different lens of how can I take that grit and resilience
mm-hmm.
and use that as a competitive advantage in my business,
yes.
right? To have them help us think through that and put
Absolutely.
It in perspective. So
they
I love
that.
They
are true problem solvers.
I love that. Okay, so before we get, I'm excited to talk about this even more, but before we get into this, we always have to ask our guests on the podcast, Drew, what's one of your superpowers, one of those strengths that you really think had an impact on your success in your career?
I'll not only tell you what I think my superpower is, but I'll tell you how you can figure out your own. And I'm going to use the title of Life Purpose.
Yep.
There's a wonderful TED Talk by a gentleman by the name of Adam Leipzig. It's L-E-I-P-Z-I-G. And he walks you through 5 questions. And what I realize mine is that I help young people gain confidence to achieve or exceed their dreams and goals. That's my life purpose. And so that's my superpower. I know how to mentor and coach and gain, you know, deliver confidence to those individuals mm-hmm. by recognizing in them all these wonderful skills that they have. And we use tools like Strengths Finders that are fact-based and,
yep.
and founded and third party, you know, et cetera. But we also help the employers understand why that student is such a great fit for their organization based on those skills.
I love it. You're a matchmaker of sorts,
yes.
but because you can see something differently. And it really speaks to, not that other people can't have that as a strength, but there's some people who have that as a superpower. And when you can apply that,
mm-hmm.
that's where it just becomes so powerful,
mm-hmm.
right? In terms of the impact that you can
right.
have, which is your purpose.
Which is exactly what StrengthsFinders is about, is we all have our own wonderful skills. Are you in the right seat where you
yeah.
get to
Are you
use
using them?
Your skills, right?
I just read something about, you know, the top reasons that millennials are actually leaving, and you can correct me, you know, most of statistics are made up in some way, but I just, it was like in the top 3 that they don't get to use their strengths
totally
daily
true.
At work.
Totally true. And obviously that's difficult when your skills are in the strategic thinking area.
Yeah.
That's not an entry-level job.
Yeah.
And I coach and counsel them on, you're going to have to deliver results.
Yep.
You may be able to give some suggestions and ideas.
Yep.
But when you're in a very large corporation, the lanes that you get to play in are
yep.
sometimes quite narrow and deep.
But you can find ways to still use it. It might not be maximized at that point, but I still think it's helping them understand. And another thing, when I've coached and mentored in a corporate environment, is there might be seasons of your career where it's not always at work.
Absolutely
You can
true.
Find it elsewhere, too,
Absolutely
and feed
true.
Your soul with that.
Very much so.
Knowing that you're in this little growth spot in work, and eventually you'll get back to being able to use it more.
Right. You never know all of your interests and how they come into being, you know, such an asset for you in whatever environment you're in.
Agreed.
And I think that's back to your point about curiosity.
Because I think a lot of it's discovered. If you had asked me what my superpowers were at 25, I had done StrengthsFinders at that point.
Uh-huh.
Like I remember early in my corporate career, but I didn't know, like, I didn't know how it drove me.
Right.
Like how actual powerful it was. I think you have to have some life experience
yes.
to be able to start to connect it. And it's probably why at 40, 45, and then again at 60, 65, people, like, you can see the phases of life where people start to have these moments of clarity on your purpose and your legacy, right?
Exactly.
And all of this.
Exactly. And for young people, this is one of the advantages of doing internships. It's okay to figure mm-hmm. out that's not what I want to do.
Exactly.
And so we tell them that's a success. Now what next year or next semester, what are you going to go do that's more in line with now what you've discovered you really do enjoy?
Yes.
Because they don't, you know, I had one young man who was in finance, and he realized he really would like to do audit. He didn't even know there was a job called audit.
Correct.
Until he worked at a corporation.
Yes. Yes. And it's being curious and being okay that
yes.
it would say your career, it's not a ladder, it's a jungle gym.
Mm-hmm.
Right? As long as you're learning, you could laterally learn different things
Absolutely.
And still be enhancing and advancing,
yes.
right, your career.
So one metric for me of are you curious is how much do you network? Right?
Mm-hmm.
Because we literally teach networking, and there's books on it. There's a wonderful book. Nathan Perez is the author, and he comes and speaks actually at Upturnships. But it's 20-minute networking, and that's all the time that you need.
Mm-hmm.
It, you know, there's a formula as to how you do it, how you make sure that you're being respectful of the person's time. And it's really an enjoyable process because the person you're meeting with is probably not the person that's going to help you find the next job,
mm-hmm.
but someone they know
Correct.
May very well be, or they may give you a great idea on something else that you're curious and interested in.
Mm-hmm.
And for instance, Julie Burrows, our founder, is constantly looking into diversity and inclusion
yep.
groups and you know forums and mm-hmm. books and things that she can learn more about so that she really can relate to some of the upturns and the needs that the employers have.
And I think that's really the epitome of seek first to understand
right.
is if we believe we know all the answers,
right.
we're doomed.
Right.
Because we don't. And
well,
even,
what a boring life.
Even as a CEO, right?
right?
I look at our business journey and up to now and where it's going, and it's full of adjusting and learning
Correct.
And saying, oh, maybe that's what the market needs and we can help with that. And there's no, like, you don't know it when you start out, just like in a career or anything. And it's helping them understand that it's okay that you don't know everything
right.
as long as you're curious and you want to learn.
Right. And even if you know today, whatever it is It'll possible
change.
To know today,
totally.
Even if you don't think you need to change, everybody around you will, and it will force you to either change
yes.
and you know thrive and survive, or you will not. And that's how disruption happens.
So this is a perfect transition to the question, the juicy question I really, our topic I really wanted to get to with you, because when we talk about change is, you know, in the businesses that we work with, is helping them understand and embrace change
yes.
at a level they've never had to before.
Exactly.
And that is, I think, the issue
rub.
That's had the rub that's happening right now in our business climate is we know we have to change. We don't know exactly how or how we should go about it. And so I want to bring in this millennial topic, right?
Okay.
The generational changes of the workforce,
yes.
because you see them, you work with them every
right.
day, you work with businesses and help bridge that gap is how do you see, what you do and the curiosity and that really being the catalyst for change? With businesses and with the next generation
sure.
of the workforce. And I know you have some amazing statistics that kind of floored me to share as well.
Yeah. So I guess let's just start with, you know, because we're living longer and we're working longer, this
mm-hmm.
may be the first time, and I don't have that statistic, but I just common sense says we may never have had as many generations in the workforce as we
yeah.
have today.
Yeah.
So the disparity from mm-hmm. one end to the other could be quite large. And also we know even within any group, this
yeah.
I was a psych major, the difference between groups is less than within a group.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
There's a larger
yes.
range within the group.
Yes.
So we have all those dynamics going on. But I did find some information about Minnesota millennials. And for the first time in 2019, we now have more people in the population as millennials. There's 28% versus boomers. 25% of the population.
Yeah.
That's staggering. The second thing was, if you want diversity, and when I say diversity, I actually mean diversity of everything, thought, age,
yeah.
background,
and,
you know, color,
yes.
et
yes.
cetera, religious, all that. It only makes it richer. When we think about curiosity, I think that's synonymous with composite teamwork or just, you know, inclusion, because really that's the best way to be able to get the best answer. We know that statistically group thinking
yes.
is much higher in terms of being accurate than any expert or individual.
And on a global scale, our customers, our potential employees are diverse.
Correct.
And I think that's what the stat you're going to share that was kind of like amazing to me.
Yes.
About
1 in 4 millennials in Minnesota are people of color. So if you want diversity in your workforce, in other words, if you want your employees to mirror your clients,
yes.
then you need millennials.
You do. They're bringing that diversity, which I love. Because again, like you said, it's not just the color of your skin, your religious background, and your beliefs. It's your experience, your yes. upbringing,
yes,
and what that brings to the table to help us enhance our products, enhance our services,
absolutely.
To make sure they are addressing the needs of our real customer versus our perceived customer.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So I love that.
You know, it's interesting. There's a study from Gallup. It's called Q12,
yep.
and it stands
yep.
for the 12 questions. And that is a predictor of you being able to not only retain your own employees, which is costly when there's high mm-hmm. turnover, but also be a competitive advantage, you know, versus your competition.
Yes.
And it's simply answering the questions around, am I in the right seat?
Yeah, I'm using my strengths.
Yes.
Yep.
And so that is an important tool to be able to understand. And I think this whole point of having, you know, people that bring their best to work means that they get to bring their whole self to work.
Mm-hmm.
So at any rate, another statistic that was interesting out of the same report, which was individuals that came from Compass Group. The mm-hmm. two study leads were Craig Helmstetter and Jane Teagan. I believe that's how you pronounce it, T-I-G-A-N. One of their statistics was that the 25 to 34-year-olds, which is our young, up-and-coming managers mm-hmm. and companies, we look at higher education to see, you know, where they rank. And Minnesota's seventh, so in the nation in large cities. So we certainly have
very
the population.
Educated population.
Yes,
yep.
absolutely, for our future leaders. Kind of along the same line in the same study, it was talking about the recession hitting the millennials. So our 2008 recession, if you were to lay up the 16 to 24-year-olds of the boomer age and then lay up the millennials of the same age group, 16 mm-hmm. to 24, they are starting 20% in the hole in terms of their income versus the boomers.
Which is absolutely staggering to me, because I think most of the boomers listening and out there would have no idea that
correct.
The millennials haven't been handed
correct.
A higher starting point. They're actually 20% lower in their starting wage than
right.
the boomers were how many years ago?
Exactly.
And so we don't always think about that, but it impacts. So businesses that are listening, that are in the financial services or banking,
mm-hmm.
or right, that are servicing millennials, we think about, like, why are they behaving the way they are from credit cards, you know,
mm-hmm.
not wanting, all of these factors that are so foreign to us, but it's things like this that they're starting at a different point.
Right. And it's not that the employers are bad.
No.
All I'm saying is sometimes the college graduates go back to work as the cashier at Company X.
Yeah.
You know, a job they could have had without going to college and
yes.
inheriting, you know, $40,000 or $80,000 worth of debt.
Yes.
So this idea of internships is really critical, because it helps them get the experience.
Mm-hmm.
Employers today don't have the luxury of training people the way that they did when I was hired.
Mm-hmm.
And so what they're doing is targeting people that can walk in and bring value.
Yep.
Not a bad strategy. It's just that, how do they get that experience?
And versus bringing in people that can come in and continue to learn. Because this is
right.
the other piece that I see with businesses is businesses are changing in terms of their technology. I mean, look at manufacturing clients and robotic. It's changing at a rate that is every year, right? There's something new. And so if we're just bringing in people that have a specific skill set,
mm-hmm.
the chances of that skill set or training within a couple of years
oh,
being
yeah.
out of date
oh, absolutely.
Is almost 100%.
Oh, it is
in
100%.
Some way.
They're saying right now that it takes 2 years to create new curriculum on college campuses, and in 2 years it will be obsolete.
It's already obsolete.
Yes. I tell college campuses all the time, if you don't teach Python and SQL and some of these IT skills so that the individuals can go off from their STEM programs
mm-hmm.
and do, you know, data scraping, mm-hmm. which is public information
yep.
that allows them to, you know, do a Venn diagram and figure out the targeted population for brand X.
Yeah.
And, you know, this
that's
is
real
not
life.
Something. Yeah,
that's,
this is real life. This is not a job that existed prior to just a few years
yes.
ago.
Yeah, so you want to look for people that have
this,
the curiosity and
yes,
the learning.
Yes.
Because we can teach them the next thing 2 years from now if they're curious.
Right, right.
And that's the difference.
I would, you know, you made me think of one thing that one of our coaches talked about, which is judgment. And, you know, curiosity combined with judgment is such a critical point. It's not just the curiosity for curiosity's sake. It's curiosity for judgment's sake, you know, applying that discretionary capability. And there was a great analogy that was used by one of our CEOs at Johnson & Johnson, where he said, you know, everyone is in the boat. We're all in the boat together. We're on the water, you know, right? You can drill into the boat above the waterline to see what happens. If your curiosity, if your exploration, if your internal entrepreneurial skills are going to help us move forward, you get to drill away. However, if you want to drill below the waterline, you need permission first. And we all need to know where that waterline is. So it's that judgment with the curiosity that needs to go into, you know, the behavior.
That keeps it under control, right? I mean, it's not just everything, right? Innovation left untethered can, a very negative thing.
Yes.
But I think it's important to just drive that curiosity and teach the millennials and how that can really impact an organization. And the other thing that I wanted to talk about, and we've kind of touched on this a little bit, is helping to create more alignment and less drama between the generations.
Absolutely.
Right? So yes, you know, boomers are reaching, and you talked about this yourself, is you reach this point where you're like, well, what's next?
Yes.
And how do I continue to add value? And I think a big piece of that is your legacy then becomes what you're leaving behind.
Right.
Right? What you're leaving in someone else.
You know, the thought of the gift I'm giving you is actually a gift to myself.
Yeah.
So it's when you think you're helping someone else, and you do, you genuinely help them, those motivated individuals who really want to, you know, learn these tools and understand how they can achieve their own dreams and goals. Mm-hmm. But in return, you're getting so much back, because you feel valued for the knowledge and information and time that you've given. And I would say to any boomer, find something that you are passionate about, because you truly will feel more fulfilled than simply maybe taking that cruise once in a while. But, you know, in the long run, you've got to do something else that feels like you're lifting our community.
Yes. And what better way to truly look at your success in a different way than to see it reflected in someone else?
Absolutely.
Right? Where you're looking at all that experience and almost not realizing how much experience we have in the situations.
True.
And what you can teach someone else.
True.
Before they have to hit that obstacle. Is I think by mentoring and coaching someone else, you see it in yourself again. You almost get to relive it.
Yeah. It's funny, when we have new coaches come on board, they're actually nervous. And I'll say to them, you've forgotten more than they know at this point.
That's a good
point. Don't worry about it.
It's common sense.
You've been interviewed for all the different jobs, either within a company for promotions and what have you. Okay. We're going to do mock interviews today. Here's the background. They'll bring the resume. You'll have a chance to ask them the typical types of questions. And it always goes over extremely well. And it's kind of cute, because, you know, our upturns or anybody that's doing mock interviews gets a little nervous. They're dressed very nicely.
Oh, yeah. It's funny that they're both nervous, but for different reasons.
Right.
And it reminds me of a quote that it talks about, like, you know, I use it with my kids, but I've taught you everything that you know, but I haven't taught you everything that I know.
Exactly.
And I think that's where that mutual respect for the millennials as well comes from, is that they don't know it all now, and they shouldn't.
Right.
That's part of the journey. And knowing that they can extract so much wisdom and experience and ideas from the boomers that they can then take and be curious to truly innovate,
right?
To truly change our business climate and our products and our services.
So you just made me think of one thing. So we've started our summer with our interns this year, and they're nervous to go ask their supervisor questions. And we keep emphasizing to them, they expect you to.
Yeah.
They expect you to come, because they would much rather have smaller course corrections than
Absolutely.
Great big changes. And so it's important that you go ahead and ask questions. So we need to, as boomers or coaches or superiors at a company, we need to model the behavior that it's okay, in fact, favored to ask questions and get input so that we model that for the next generation that's going to be our future leaders.
And I also think it's an important reminder for business leaders of all ages and companies that we need to stimulate that. Because that's how we create a competitive advantage, is by allowing them to ask questions. Because we get into environments where business leaders get frustrated by the, why do we do it this way?
Right.
And, you know, millennials are asking, like, why don't we enable this and do it smarter and not harder.
Right.
Right. With technology and with, I read a statistic that millennials admit, 40% of millennials who have left a position admit to leaving it because of lack of technology, or we're kind of doing it in an old way of thinking, right? And it doesn't have to be that hard.
Right.
And so when they're challenging and asking, we can't shut them down, because then we've just stifled any kind of curiosity and
right.
creativity that they might be bringing to the table. So we have to find that balance.
Right. And so it's a matter of simply making them feel empowered to bring forth suggestions, right?
Yep.
To be able to say, I see that this is inefficient, or I know of another process that, or program or technology that's better and maybe less costly, maybe faster, all these acronyms mm-hmm. for being, you know, more efficient. And we should just let them explore that, because it may very well be our next best cost savings. And Lord
yep.
knows we all need to be able to be efficient. And, you know, why spend money on, you know, administrative cost as opposed to something that really is valuable to our consumers?
Yep. It's all about driving the curiosity and the seeking to understand. And I think if we all spend more time every day doing that, no matter what our age,
right,
our businesses will grow.
Yes.
Our economy will grow. I mean, because it's being curious about the other person
mm-hmm.
and not just the product or service.
Exactly.
So what other words of wisdom, advice, things you wish you knew earlier in your career that you likely share with the upturns, what other words of wisdom would you share?
You know, I think it's along the same theme of curiosity, and it's really, let's never stop learning.
Mm-hmm.
Let's find ways that we can take natural talents that we have, natural interests that we have, and make them valuable to some other group or community mm-hmm. So that, you know, we can go back and forth and learn. I'm involved in a wonderful book club at our church, and we read books that look at religion from all different perspectives. And then we have discussions and debates, quite
yeah.
frankly, about, you know, who is God and who is right about God. And we're reading a great book right now, Holy Envy, which looks at all the various religions
hmm.
and compares and contrasts them. And it's just, you know, it's one example of being in a community where you get input that shifts your perspective. And for mm-hmm. me, it was a great opportunity, because, you know, I was carrying my childhood religion into adulthood and realized that I needed to recast it, just kind
yes,
of take another fresh look at myself,
mm-hmm.
as I have also done with work now
mm-hmm.
in terms of my volunteer work. And I joke about, you know, I'm being paid heavenly currency these days as opposed to the 401k kind.
Yep.
But it's much more valuable to me.
Yeah. And it's really realizing that we will change no matter what. I mean, but we have to be conscious of that we have to change. How boring is it to
right.
be this, to think in the same way that you thought 20 years ago,
right.
or even 5 years ago, is that if we're not stimulating that and changing, we're not really growing
right.
as individuals, whether personal life or professional life.
Yeah.
And I think that comes with putting yourself in situations where
exactly.
there's diversity of thought,
exactly.
where someone doesn't agree with you.
Yes.
And even in our businesses, we need to stimulate that, because if we have a bunch of people that just agree with us around us,
mm-hmm.
oh, we're doomed.
I heard Julie had gone to a meeting this week. It was around diversity. And the person said, you can buy diversity, but you cannot buy inclusion. Now, just that phrase.
Wow.
We wouldn't have gathered had we not gone, in Julie's case, and then sharing it with me, if we hadn't gone out to meet a different community and
yeah.
gain a new perspective. But it's those sorts of things. I need to be around other people, and I love being around young people, because I've learned a lot from them, you know?
Yeah.
It's just been really fun, and it, as I said before, it keeps me young.
Yeah. So people are going to want to know more how to connect with you, but also more about Upturnships, I'm guessing, because of what we talked about. It's very,
sure.
very powerful, and it's just a great organization for people to support, and there's a variety of ways to support it, whether it's hiring or even coaches, I'm
sure.
guessing.
Sure, absolutely.
So how can people get in touch with you or get more information on Upturnships?
Okay, so we have a website. It's www.upturnships.org. And the name Upturnships is the way that we transition people from an internship to an upward projection. They literally change the direction. They leap up, you know, from where they were starting. So www.upturnships.org. You can go to our site. There's a number of things there, from volunteers to candidates who might want to apply. Again, if you have young people in college that want to get involved with summer internships, they can certainly go on and look at our criteria, which is pretty simple.
They're
basically paying, you know, over 50% of their college expenses, and that they're motivated.
Yep.
And that they want a business career. So careers like teaching that has its own proctoring type of, we're not going to add value there. So we don't target that area. Also, engineers tend to have, you know, a lot of demand. You know, medical profession, which is my background, tends to have a lot of, you know, their own path of doing market research or research in general. Mm-hmm. But general business, if you're interested in that, we definitely would be interested in candidates and employers who want to have access to some of our great pre-qualified, pre-educated, you know, polished young people who are very motivated.
And again, I can speak from experience that you are creating a great product.
Thank
or
you.
You're helping to develop a product that was already great, but to really develop it.
We're just shining it and giving them some tools. Exactly.
Which we could have all used at that age.
Oh, I wish I had it.
So thank you again, Marianne, for being here and for driving this dialogue. I definitely think it's something that business leaders that are listening can relate to. And you know, our goal in this podcast is to shift paradigms just a little bit, right? Make you think differently about what you're dealing with or a situation that you have going on. And so, you know, podcast listeners, as always, I'm grateful that you're here and that you continue to engage. And as always, you know, make sure that this week or whenever you're listening to this podcast, that you are focusing on your own superpowers and how you can use them to really create a fulfilled and higher level of success. Thanks, everyone.